The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome to the King for the Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have Charlie Saladino sitting next to me.
How's everybody tonight?
And I'm told via text that Hassan Godwin is racing down to the studio, hopefully not too fast because, you know, it's illegal to speed in New York or anywhere else. I don't know where it is legal to speed.
Yes. We don't want any accidents on the way to the show.
Or any car crashes.
Right.
Speaking of accidents, I think that's what happened to Herman. I think he had an accident, and he peed his pants, so he couldn't come in town to the station.
I was going to say, is it a biological accident, or was it a normal accident?
Well, you know, we have the no clean underwear rule, so he didn't have clean underwear today, so he couldn't get down.
There is no normal accidents with Herman, right?
That's true.
The word normal shouldn't be in the same sentence with the word Herman.
Yes.
Okay.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on our live audio streaming. Also, on the GBB website, they have the high-definition webcams, so you can see us in high definition right now. Or if your computer can't handle it, they actually have an option to go low definition and back to the 10-second intervals. That's very convenient of them.
Why would anyone want to do that?
I don't know.
If anyone does that or wants to do that, please give us a call and tell us why.
And the phone number here is area code 61-888-8811.
Did you like that little segment?
Yeah, that was very nice.
Yes.
So I guess we should call, since last week was the earthquake edition, this would be the Tropical Storm Irene edition.
Yes, this would be the post-Tropical Storm Irene.
And I don't know about you, but to me, it didn't feel that bad. I'm sure parts, you know, that always get hit bad in the tri-state area got hit bad. But for me, it wasn't that bad. I lost power, but it felt like a blackout with rain.
Once again, as I feel about this storm, that if it didn't hit our poor friends in the Carolinas, we would have got slammed. And luckily, it hit land, and it just came to whatever it was, Category 1, and it was just like a bad storm. In fact, I was just talking to somebody. Was that you? About
I think so.
Yeah, that would have been probably you. About how I've seen worse rainstorms that we didn't, you know, that we had that we didn't even get notification about.
Yeah, so. But I think what happened was that the government that would be decided that this is going to be Armageddon 2011, and once they made that commitment, you can't go back and be like, we were kind of wrong.
Yeah, but I think they made a good call because, you know, they, in the beginning, before it hit the Carolinas, the severity was a lot worse, and they just wanted people to be ready rather than what they do in every blizzard or snowstorms. They're always unprepared. So I guess they better to be safe than sorry, and I'm glad they did that because it could have been a lot worse. People were saying, oh, they all went crazy. No, they didn't. It could have been a lot worse if it didn't hit the Carolinas and died down. So, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know, they went out of their way to, you know, protect the people and, you know.
Good job, guys, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I wish they do that in blizzards when they know it's going to snow and they wait for the icing trucks to for the next day when we can't move. But anyway, neither here or there. So.
Good times right there. Yeah. So let me take it away with the news.
Take it away with the news, Mark. What's in the news?
For those of you who like independent comics, as mentioned last week, there is no greater independent comic than Red Anvil's War of the Independents. Originally announced by Dave Ryan on our old show, The Comic Book Novice, in 2007, War of the Independents is a 6-issue full-color crossover series bringing independent creators together from all spectrums of the world. Such characters as Ant, the Max, Bone, Savage Dragon, And yes, Gumby and Pokey.
Gumby and Pokey. That's all I'm worried about, folks, is the Gumby and Pokey connection.
Well, I'm more worried about my character, because my character is going to be in it, so it's awesome to see my character.
Well, all right, I'll worry about that, but not as much as Gumby. I have a history with Gumby and Pokey. Only me and my cousins would know, so that's it. So, not a biblical history. Let's just get that out of the way, right? So I'll be getting letters now.
So War of the Independence will be coming out in October, but you can go to your previews magazine right now to get where you people normally order the comic books in advance and get it right now. Pre-order it right now so you can get my comic book and then you can have me sign it.
I'm running out now.
Right now. Forget about the show.
Right now. Forget about the show. I'm out.
So speaking of comic books.
Speaking of Mr. Segway.
This week marks the beginning of the new non-comic book friendly DC universe, beginning with Justice League number one. So far the reviews have been less than stellar, citing that it has been has a very 90s feel, but in a bad way. A lot of style and no substance. One can only wonder if this, quote, broad new direction will actually take away with its target audience. Because the idea is that they want to get all the people who don't read comics to read comics. So this whole relaunching of the entire universe is supposed to gear towards them, but they're not really any substance to it.
You know, if you don't jump into the ocean with your whole body, you ain't going to get wet. Maybe partially wet.
Yes.
I have no idea what that means, folks, but just go with it.
And also, from the desk of Charlie Saladino, as you can see on the web camera, I'm holding it up right now, one of the 52 new books that are coming out is Batgirl. She's going to have her own book. As we mentioned before, she is no longer paralyzed because they got rid of that. She was paralyzed in 20 years ago, in 19... Oh, wow. More than 20 years ago.
By the Joker, right?
Yeah, she was paralyzed by the Joker. He shot her. And
I did not know that.
What I always found interesting is that in a world where people die and come back to life, have cyborgs running around, aliens, and everything, you're still in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And that logic defied itself, but it made her a more important character, and because she couldn't be Batgirl, they made her a stronger character in what she could do, and an inspiration to all the other people out there. And I did mention earlier on one of the other shows that one of our guests, Jill Pantalone, she is in a wheelchair,
right?
And she used to cite her as her inspiration. But now they took that away from her because she's back in the saddle. And for those of you who can actually see us on the high definition web camera, you almost took
Hassan
the whole thing.
Hassan is wrecking the studio as we speak.
Hassan Godwin is lurching in the studio and sitting down and joining us right now. Say hi, Hassan. That's Hassan saying hi.
What do you mean lurching?
Well, yeah.
I didn't.
You almost took out the table.
That was nothing lurching about that. He walked in fast,
wasn't a
grabbed
lurch.
The chair, and we were almost history.
So moving along.
Not my fault that the chair was under the table.
That's true.
You guys should have
prepared.
Yeah, you guys should have do a setup
here?
Right there.
Oh, okay.
You should have helped me out.
All right, next time, we'll take care of it.
I'll be looking forward to it.
So, speaking of comics.
Mr. Segway. Speaking of comics.
The entire West Coast in-house marketing department team of Marvel Studios.
Shucks.
Consisting.
I'm sorry. I'm making up for lost time.
That's terrible. and oddly relevant
oddly,
to this story.
Oddly true.
Oddly relevant to the story.
Yes, I had a premonition.
The creative team consisting of Dana Precious, Jeffrey Stewart,
my
and
precious.
Jody Miller, who are the management director of worldwide marketing of Marvel.
Worldwide marketing.
Fired by Disney this week.
Wow.
The
Why?
Official reason, the official quote-unquote reason, is so that Disney can handle releases of Avengers and all movies coming after that by themselves. Because before, it used to be they used to have to work with the other companies, such as Paramount or Fox, whenever they want to release a Marvel movie, or Sony in the case of Spider-Man.
Indications that it's all just going to get better and better and better.
So these poor guys are just out the door.
Swiped out by the giant corporate mogul, by the just giant amalgamated monster called Disney.
Yes. And on like you were saying of how they quote unquote suck, Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige, Feige,
sure,
says that the teams, the previously fired team, was quote not well
AKA
loved,
those guys, those darn guys,
yeah,
were quote not well loved by Disney and Marvel executives, And there was implication that the cuts were also performance-based.
So, but give us, like, you should give us, like, a few, like, I mean, not personal things. Like, you know, one time she called me a jerk, you know, but, I mean, you know, just give us
like
a couple of, give us a couple of examples of the marketing campaigns that they were not happy with. I know it has nothing to do with Green Lantern, because that was DC, so.
But I would love to have the same conference in my old neighborhood, because the same conference would go this way. I gave them all the big deckeries, and that's it. Conference was over.
But why?
Yeah, because. But what? Hey, they did things.
Yeah,
right? They did things.
Certain things happened that I didn't like.
Things happened that we had to take care of.
We don't need
to know about.
We had to talk to this other guy. You know, I heard things. I just heard things.
We gave them, you know, hey, don't let the door hit you, on the way out.
But I mean, you know, because the last few Marvel movies weren't that bad. Yeah.
They were all financial successes. Thor, Captain America.
Captain America. The X-Men movie was terrible, but, I mean, it did well.
It made money.
Blah, 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 blah.
It made the money. That's what's important to Hollywood.
Blah, 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 blah.
But obviously not to Disney, because they have plenty of money already.
Blah, blah.
Disney.
I don't know.
Well, it's the same as the Star Trek movie, which was, you know, like, I've been having conversations with friends of mine for the last, like,
former friends of yours.
No. We're still friends. But, I've been having conversations for the last few weeks about, like, what makes relevant, movie, like movies that people, everyone hates, but made $1 billion, you know? So it's like, okay, well, where are all these people coming from that hated it? Because in order for a movie these days to make $1 billion, you got to go more than once, you know?
Yeah.
And just about everybody went to see it. You know, it's like Episode 1, Star Wars, made about $1 billion. Everybody hates Episode 1, you know? So it's like, okay, where are these people coming from?
I'll tell you where they're coming from. I'm glad you asked.
Excellent. I'm glad you know.
It's the diehard fans of the franchise that go and they hate it, but then they say, maybe it's me. Let me go back again.
Yeah.
They hate it again.
Yeah,
and then they say, maybe I missed something, and they go back again. But they're trying to love it.
You know, it's like, that's the thing. The new movies, the whole saga is coming out now on Blu-ray in about 2 weeks. Which,
and
you know,
next year it'll be in 3D.
Huh? Yeah, a geek like me is, you know what, I'll be there. You know, he's already got my money. He already has it. But, you know, this is giving everybody a new opportunity to start, you know, kvetching about why, you know, the movie stunk and everything was wrong with it. And so I kept going on, like, these little blogs and stuff like that. So just, all right, then don't buy it, you know. The only way a high time movie mogul like George Lucas, like, you know, brand name, that the only reason he would kind of back off of anything is if he started taking money out of his pocket, because he's an entrepreneur, like avant-garde artiste type guy. He's gonna keep messing with these movies until everybody in Star Wars is black, you know. So I mean, he's just gonna keep pushing the envelope until Darth Vader's in pink armor and Han Solo is now suddenly Billy Dee Williams
and the buns are froze. Apple Puffs, right?
exactly. So you gotta kind of get him in his wallet. You gotta stop buying these things. But no one's willing to do that,
because, like I said, they're fans, true fans.
So
they're looking.
Everybody should shut up and just enjoy it. Then
Charlie hit the nail right on the head. I've mentioned this before.
Ding.
on our previous
Good
show.
Good hit.
But I used to work at Blockbuster many years ago, and episode one came out
on VHS. That's how long ago he was at Blockbuster.
episode one came out, and I had seen it with you, if you remember. Hope you do.
Yes, I remember.
And
I remember
being
completely unappreciative of the time I spent online to get us in there after coming out of the theater. And he's like, it's just terrible. It was a total waste of my time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a waste of my time, Mark.
Yeah,
I spent
3 weeks online, and you could have been more sensitive.
So the thing is that I had problems with the movie. And when I went back to work at Blockbuster, and anybody who came in, I expressed my complaints about that movie. And I remember this one guy. I was like, oh, did you see the movie? He's like, yeah, I saw it. And then I went and proceeded to tell him all the problems that I had with the movie. He was like, yeah, you're right. You're so right. I'm with you. Yeah.
Is it in?
And then, no, this was when it was still in the theaters.
Yeah.
And then he goes, yeah, I saw it twice. I'm like, wait a minute.
I sat through every disgusting frame of this film twice.
Like, if you have the same problems I have, why did you go see it twice?
Because it's Star Wars. People, you know what it is? I think there are definitely problems with that movie. There are definitely problems with a lot of movies these days. And there are definitely problems with Episode 1, Episode 2, and Episode 3. Although I do like Episode 3 above and beyond all the others. I think that has the least problems in it. But the other side of it is that our generation doesn't know how to like anything anymore. We don't know how to have fun.
Very cynical because,
yes, because
everybody's told how things are done and everybody's...
Plus, with the internet, everyone's got a voice. Everyone's got a, you know, everyone can kind of voice their opinion, and everything's got to be this, like, intellectual, you know, mishmash of reasons, you know, of logical reasons as to why they're right and everybody's wrong. It's not even an opinion. It's not even like, you know what, I saw it, I didn't really like it. But, you know, I can understand it was good. I was like, oh, this movie stunk, and here are the 10 reasons why. And nobody cares. You know, it's self-important. Everybody's so self-important with their opinions about... I mean, we say this because we have a radio show. it's basically our purpose is to be self-important and mock everything that comes out. But what I'm saying is that everything is so cynical that I think the capacity to enjoy something that wasn't, like, profoundly... successful or profoundly widespread, widespread mania, like say Avatar had like a kind of widespread mania. So it's such a powerhouse. A lot of people aren't willing to touch it yet. So you don't get a lot of people say you'll get your occasional jerk who will go, you know, I didn't think it was all that great, but that's about as far as it goes.
Wow.
Years from now, when something else comes out that's greater, or, you know, when the hysteria of it has passed and there's enough, the coast is clear, that's when all the same people who were, you know, who were wearing the Avatar t-shirts and painting themselves blue will come out of the woodwork going, you know, there wasn't really anything special about this movie. It was all special effects, and such, whatever new movie's out, makes the special effects in Avatar look like, look like it's the Smurfs, and, you know, yada, 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 and everything sucks, and everything's bad, and everything's terrible. And that's just the cycle.
Sorry.
Bless you. That's the cycle of mania that we have these days.
And it's the same principle, which I love magic. And
pring, pring.
And now you have that thing on
the
TV,
magician,
the magic exposed. So now they tell you how the trick's done. So it's not really magic anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
and then you go see a magic show, and this poor guy who saved his life's pennies to buy this magic trick that that jerk on TV showed. Now you get one kid and they go, I know how you did that. You know? So this is what this world has come to. So what? But it's a double-edged sword, because then what that makes people do is push the envelope to get a better trick. Like,
yeah,
there are tricks.
True.
I've seen variation on these tricks that were exposed that I go, what the, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But,
so,
I mean,
but
for the most part, nobody's interested in the wonder of anything anymore.
Anything. Anything.
Of anything. No one is interested. And everything has to blow you away to such an extent that you are willing to accept that you were entertained.
Right.
And willing to admit you were entertained.
And then, like you said, years later, all that's going to disappear because you're going to look at it and go, ah.
Yeah. And then you come out and start mocking. And it's like such an easy kill. Everything is such a, like, it came from the 80s or it came from the whatever. Like, you got these modern people who are mocking the last three decades.
Yeah.
Well, of course, everything was different.
Yeah.
Things were a little worse because we didn't have cell phones and hairdos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's an easy kill. It's not even... It doesn't even take an intellectual perspective to come up with these, you know, these jabs that you... Yeah. Of course, things were slightly sucky back then. You know? Before I had my car, I had a horse and buggy. and it stunk because it went a mile an hour.
Yeah,
and it took me a long time to get to the pharmacy.
Time, it was a good one.
Yeah, but that's an easy kill. Yeah, I got a Mercedes now, so yeah, the past sucked, and today's better.
Yeah.
That doesn't say anything.
But while you're there, it's state of the art.
Exactly. And everybody was like, "Wow, we got these buggies, man! I don't have to walk. This is awesome."
Unlike you guys,
I don't have to walk.
Yeah. Unlike you guys, I was there when there was no cell phones, and you were a kid or a teenager, and we had no cell phones.
I was there.
It's just a lot more phone booths, and you carried a lot more change.
I was there. I spent I would accidentally spend the 25 cents I was supposed to use to call my mom.
Emergency quarter.
Yeah,
yes.
on the bag of garlic and onion potato chips and mess that whole thing up, and then have to walk home. I've done it.
Used to have a friend. He used to make sure every day I go to school, I have my emergency quarter in my pocket.
Like, just in case.
Yeah, just in case. The emergency quarter.
I remember when they were still a dime.
Yeah, well, I had an Italian mother and father. You didn't spend that quarter. You called.
Oh, I told her that I got home all right and that I didn't need the quarter.
Okay.
And then asked her for another one.
Okay.
But that was 2 days later when she had already forgotten she gave me one already.
You could have been like a Donald Trump type, never used a quarter, save it, and get another quarter.
Exactly. And then get so rich, I go, what the heck is this? It's called a quarter, Donald.
You could have bought your own horse.
Now I don't have to walk.
Speaking of the internet.
Mr. Segway.
Speaking of the internet.
Leaks are all the craze right now.
Yes, WikiLeaks.
We actually did a show about how, you know, it's all about
jerks.
The sizzle and not the stage.
Yeah, jerks.
If you can't wait for the new Avengers movie, you can go to such places as www.comicbookmovie.com and see some of the filming happening right now.
Oh, please.
There was some sneaky people hanging out on roofs or something and filming the action on the ground.
Who can't wait for the Avengers movie?
I don't know.
Who's sitting around going, I'm going to wait when it comes out?
Those sites are very popular.
Whatever. That movie's going to be crap. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go on record right now. The movie's going to be crap. And here's why. The clips that they showed at the end of Captain America were crap. Okay? There's no way you're going to be able to nuance this movie in the right way so that it actually is anything interesting, at least to me. All right? I will say that. Because in order to make any of these ensemble films interesting, you have to really emphasize on the characters. You have to emphasize the cast. And they have to, you know, each of them has to have an arc. It all has to wrap together. And you can tell by the way they're slapping this thing together, you know, to get it out to make it next summer's big event, it's not gonna be. It's just like it's like Green Lantern. Green Lantern was supposed to be this summer's huge event. They spent $1 billion on it.
$200 billion.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
They spent a lot of money on that.
And I remember at the theater with the big stands and all that stuff, and and we're sitting there like, this movie's gonna be terrible. And
you don't have to tell me twice.
Holy crap.
What did I miss?
Nothing.
You didn't miss a darn thing.
That will go down in history as one of the best things to ever happen on how bad a movie is. Where you think you fell asleep, but you actually didn't. And you missed something.
But you didn't. No.
That's just... Oh, that's classic. You know, what I missed. How did we get here? I don't know. I watched the same movie you did. And didn't I fall asleep for 20 minutes? Nope. you were wide awake. You were watching the same thing.
You know, I think I fell asleep at this part. Then I woke up at this part. And that was the next part.
No, yeah, exactly.
It's like when you're with somebody and you're watching a show that you've seen for a long time. And they go, oh, who's this guy? What's that guy? But then... You really weren't seeing it, so it's like, I don't know, it just started.
Yeah,
I don't know. What, you haven't seen this for 10 years?
Nope.
That's how it is. I don't know what's going on.
Actually,
either.
It's worse when you've been watching it for 10 years and you still
don't know what's going on.
Like, I still can't figure this movie out. This is terrible.
But they did more preparation on putting the little nuances into the other films for the Avenger movie.
Yes.
Than they have.
That's what I'm. Okay, Captain America was like, to me, it was an anomaly because it was just. It had all the elements of what could be a really crappy satellite superhero movie. You know, like just one of these cookie cutter, I can't speak tonight, one of these off-the-shelf type, I changed my metaphor, one of these off-the-shelf type movies, you know, instant snap together, erector set movies. And it just, I think we knew we were in good hands when the film started, and it just took this long... It took a very leisurely time introducing you to the characters and all his friends and telling you about his you know, his basic main obstacle, which was trying to, you know, be part of what was going on during the, you know, in the day, and then he was, you know, physically, his physical ailments were stopping him, or whatever. And they took a grand old time, like, explaining that to you, you know, and they went from sequence to sequence of him just going through all these machinations with his friends, and then he meets Stanley Tucci, he meets the scientist, and then they take another, you know, 10-15 minutes. Introducing their relationship, not just the scientist, but the relationship between the two of them and how he believes in it and all that stuff. So when he, you know, when everything goes pear-shaped in the, you know, the film, and we start off, you're invested, you know, because they took that time. In Green Lantern, he's in his experimental plane in the very beginning, and he's a complete jerk. And doesn't listen to anybody, so that sets him up as insubordinate. And then the alien lands and gives him a ring. There you go.
That's it.
And that's exactly all you know about Hal Jordan until he becomes Green Lantern. And then everybody else thinks that he's an idiot, and he pretty much is an idiot all the way up to the point where he saves the world.
Not as
he
much
didn't
as
save the world.
You know what I mean.
Not as much as Seth and the Green Hornet.
You know what the Green Hornet. Not good, but still better than the Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Only because of the cool toys and Kato.
There was a cool toys, but there was there were long moments between Seth Rogen and Kato where you kind of understood. You didn't agree with, like, okay, that's dumb, right. But you understood what his purpose was and what, you know, what he was out to do. And then they did all these, like, weird Matrix-type battle action scenes with Kato, which made no sense. You know,
kind of nice to look at, though.
It was cute, but, you know, after a while, it stopped making sense, and the film just became kind of a goof. But it still treated you better than Green Lantern. It treated you like, you know...
It wasn't
like,
all over the place.
Yeah, it treated you like as if you had a brain and that you would need to properly see these things in their sequential order to be able to process the information that they're feeding you.
And also the action with the car and the bullets and everything like that. Because that kept me up.
Yeah. Like people getting shot at.
All the
it
movies.
Works.
Yeah, that's... It's like... It wasn't a good ride, but at least it was a
ride. It was a ride. Yeah, it was like, all right.
It wasn't with Green Lantern, you just put it together and you're like, good luck with that. Like, you got to make your own movie with this. Yeah. It was nothing. It really wasn't. And I was already negative going into it, so that just made it worse.
Yeah, it was...
It was just...
It made no sense. It tried too hard to be, you know, your average action. It tried to capture the kind of Spider-Man mania, tried to capture all this other stuff. And Spider-Man was basically, the first Spider-Man movie was basically about him becoming Spider-Man and all the stuff that he had to go through. If Spider-Man was Green Lantern, he would have gotten bit right during the credits. And then right after the credits, he would have slapped the suit on. And you know, and then, yeah, and he would have been swinging around, and then he would have ran into the Green Goblin, and then they would have showed the Green Goblin's origin in a flashback, and then they would have just run quick to the battle, and then and you would have been like, I don't know what I saw. It was pretty, but I don't really know what I saw. But the whole first half hour of the film was about him getting bit and becoming Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So it was, you were like, okay, the purpose of the film is Spider-Man, is how this kid became Spider-Man. It's not how Spider-Man saves the world.
Or they call it Spider-Man Saves the World.
Yeah, it's how the kid became Spider-Man.
That's going to be the second film.
Exactly. Oh, wow. You don't have to mess around with that because you already explained everything in the first one.
And that's how you make more money. You make them wanting the second film. You don't put the first and second film in the
together
first film.
In the first film.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like the Evelyn Wood Speed superhero course.
So with that, we're going to take our break.
Hey, we get a break.
We'll be right back with Came From the Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
by any mode. I want a gal with a lot of dough. When I find her, we're gonna swing up to the preacher with the wedding ring. Tell me where she is, cause I don't know. So eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I've been looking all over town, but so far she ain't been around. Someday I'll meet her, and then I'll say, shoo-bidoo-bee, baby, we're on our way. Hurry up now and follow me, but don't forget to bring your do-re-mi. Anytime you're feeling sad or blue, you just call me baby and I'll run to you. But if you ever leave me, you're gonna pay $50 alimony every day. So I'll be yours from this day on, but only till your money's gone. Rich girls sure are hard to find, but I'll keep looking till I lose my mind. She's bound to show up eventually, then I'll be rolling in security. But where she's hiding, I don't know. So eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
Hey.
And we are back with the Camping Raiders.
Hi, Mark.
Mark Torres speaking, along with Hassan.
Hi, Hassan. Hi, Mark.
Charlie Saldino and an empty chair who's supposed to be Herman Snurcia.
Hey, ho, hey, hey, look out, ho, look out.
A-E-I-O-U and sometimes what?
Why can't they figure that out?
How can you just give me a sometimes why?
You know?
Well, it's that whole...
that's BS.
Every rule has an exception.
Huh?
It's that whole every rule has an exception.
So no. It's that whole every rule has an exception. When I was a kid, it was like, and sometimes why? It was like, well, when?
Sometimes.
When it happens, you'll know.
I always used to follow it. Why?
Yes, Charlie. Exactly. Yeah. No, why?
Yeah. And we started doing an Abbott and Costello.
Who's on first?
Yeah. Third base.
On second.
So this week,
something
occurred to me the other day, and then 52 issues of the new DC Universe was coming out, and it was a discussion that we've had before, but I was thinking that we can take a new spin on how important is continuity when it comes to television shows, movies. We were just talking about it. It's kind of on the same long lines we were just saying before. Do you have to sacrifice continuity for... to have an enjoyable story? So let's say you're watching a TV show,
yes.
And you know you're coming along, and I'm watching a show. I come along, hey, what's going on here? Who's this guy? What is this happening? And you're like, well, this is he's a billionaire tycoon, and he has a super fast car, and it's a helicopter turned into a submarine, or whatever. And then I'm watching a show, and then none of that happens, but it's still a good story with the same characters. Do you think that that's important, that the person in the beginning of the show, or whatever, would be the same throughout the course of the series, or even in a movie, if from one movie to another? A perfect example would be the Transformers, how they threw out continuity from the beginning. Whatever happened in the first movie didn't make any sense. What happened in the second movie, what happened in the third movie, yet people enjoyed it, they paid a whole big bag of money. What do you guys think? You know, do you think it's important for continuity, for things to happen in order where true to themselves, or is it more important just to tell a good story? Charlie?
What? No, I'm kidding. I heard you. And like we're saying, we constantly say, obviously in this day and age, continuity doesn't mean anything. But you have your exceptions. Of course continuity is important, because you have a lot of intelligent people watching movies now. And of course they're gonna see, like, let's talk about Ed Wood. There was no such thing as continuity in his film. And that's what made it so much fun to watch, picking out, like in Bride of the Monster or something, picking out that it's nighttime and all of a sudden the guy's chasing the guy and it turns into day, and you know, so that's the fun stuff. The better the film is, the more they you know, take into consideration the continuity, and believe me, people pick that up, and I think it's very, very important in films, so, and anybody will tell you that.
So if by chance, let's say, I'm going to go with Highlander 2. If Highlander 2, which is one where they decided to become aliens or something, and they decided to, and that story was actually a good story, would you have been more forgiving to the movie? Because it was trash because they changed the whole idea of what Highlander was, and then on top of that, wasn't a good movie. At least that's what people say. I Joe Angel myself, but that's another thing.
Really?
I get the look.
Wow.
So
I'm like, go home.
Well,
so you know, so if something like that, they make a sequel to the movie. If in the second Indiana Jones movie, he was, you know, a jump roper instead of an archaeologist, but the story was good.
No.
No, so no. No, no,
no.
Was that a no?
If you went to the first, if you saw Raiders of the Lost Ark and you went to see Temple of Doom and he was jumping rope just before he ran an Olympic tournament, you'd throw your shoe at the screen.
But I'm saying,
and murder the usher.
But if it was a good movie.
No, no.
So continuity to you is important then?
Continuity is important in general. Unless you have a grand spectacle. If you have a grand spectacle, then continuity, for some reason, gets put on the back burner. But that only works on some occasions. Transformers is one of those occasions where there was a grand spectacle of cars and planes turning into robots. That's what the kids were going for. They don't know nothing about Shia LaBeouf or his girlfriend.
Shia.
And they're not interested in the little stupid slapstick antics that happen in the first 40-minute preamble before you get to see an Autobot change into a robot. That's all they care about. That's all I would have cared about when I was watching it when I was a kid. I don't know any about the, you know, the political hoopla that was taking place. So you got that. That works. That's why that works. The special effects were magnificent in Transformers, and that's why those movies worked. It could have been a good movie. If it was a good story, the movies would have made, you know, $1 billion each. Because if it was a good story, then you would have had jerks like myself going to see it over and over again, going, I can't believe how good this is. You know, I can't believe that they captured the nuances of all this, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, so you have to have continuity. One of the biggest problems with the Star Wars trilogy is that they don't seem to have continuity between the first, you know, the first trilogy and the new ones. You know, one of the problems with the Matrix was that there wasn't any continuous type feel from the first movie leading into the other two movies. And people, I mean, those movies were successful, but people let them know. You know, these are terrible. You know, take these back and fix these because these are horrendous.
And what about your big example, that Star Trek movie, the last one?
The thing about that is because they're rebooting the entire series. You can't really argue about the continuity. Kind of there are a lot of technical things that are incongruous with the originals, and people give me like the geek look whenever I start talking about that. So I'm not even going to waste anybody's time doing that now. But we'll have to wait until the other two inevitable Star Trek movies come out to see if they have any sense of continuity. Because if they can make it congruous between the three new allotments, then, you know, I guess, or installments, excuse me, then they can make that work.
So that actually goes along the line as if they would have just keep everything in continuity and made better movies, they wouldn't need to reboot stuff.
That's true. They would reboot them anyway because no one has any new ideas, and there's no geniuses coming to the table anymore.
Why not keep it going? I mean, excluding the JLA new DC universe, they were going on for, you know, a bazillion years.
Yeah, but they were getting
kind of just dancing their way through bad stories.
Obviously,
and
they're not happy
going
with their sales because they wouldn't take the chance of rebooting the entire universe if they had sales that they were satisfied with. So, you know, I guess it was dropping off as we were going on, you know.
So yeah, the amazing thing what you just said, one of my two favorite franchise movies. One, Lord of the Rings, it had amazing continuity because they did the three movies at one time.
Right.
So the continuity
was written. It was amazing. Another one, which I hold above Lord of the Rings because they didn't do all the movies at the same time, was Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, the continuity was flawless in that thing. I watched them all.
They didn't
all
even have to recast it, except for Dumbledore, who died, unfortunately, Richard Harris.
Right. So, and that was early on.
Right.
So, you know, it was amazing. These two, you want to see continuity, look at these two movies.
Or the another one is the Lethal Weapon movies have amazing continuity for action films. You know, they brought back the entire Murtaugh family. They brought back all the cops. Most of them, at least in the
ones that survived.
Yeah, the ones that survived the second one. He had the same house. Both of them had the same house. They had the same car. He had the same dog. And they were, you know, they were 3, 4 to 5 years in between each installment. So to be able to do that and have that kind of consistency and have the same crew come back over and over again for those movies.
Exactly.
You know, it almost makes it otherworldly because you're so used to having to compromise on one or two things or seeing, you know, something that doesn't quite look right from the last one. You know, that it kind of becomes a soap opera. Like, so Lethal Weapon kind of becomes a soap opera by the time they ended it.
They put new elements into the same people.
Well, I mean, the second one, he got shot like 90 times, and they didn't even mention it in the third one. You know, he was fine. In your 30s, you don't shake off being shot multiple times after being stabbed in the leg by some other guy who was running around.
You figured they might put something cute in, like he drinks water and it spurts out all the whole,
or something like that. He mentions it actually in the third one. He does actually say, "Oh yeah, I got shot a bunch of times in this show." And it was like, well, then you wouldn't be able to use that arm. But, we just move on. But that and the fact that Danny Glover was supposed to be 50 when the series started. And I think 12 or 13 years later.
He was 51?
He was like 53. And he looked, Danny Glover was, there's a scene in the fourth movie where he actually has to take his clothes off to distract this guy running around with a flamethrower. And he was in better shape than Mel Gibson at that time. Because Mel Gibson didn't take his clothes off at all. He got all stocky and, middle-aged Mel. So, with his short hair and everything.
Or M.A.M. as we call him.
Well, that was before Crazy.
Crazy Mel.
Cat litter Crazy Mel, which is a completely different type character. But it's weird when you watch. Well done, Charlie. It's weird when you watch them all together. Yeah, it's the chair. Right. Lay off the coffee.
Lay off the broccoli.
Yeah.
What about television series? The one I can pick up right away would be Lost, because that was just if you saw the first episode and then you saw the last episode, you're like, wait a minute, that's two different shows here. What the hell happened? So stuff like Dallas or a matter of fact, Dallas is a good example. Since we mentioned on the show that they're going to bring back a new Dallas next year, there was a teaser promo online. And they brought back Larry Hagman. It's going to be a continuation with the next generation of people. So, and the fans are really excited about it because got the original cast and they're going to mix it up with the new people. So that's exciting. But
they're going to slowly taper off the show, though, like they did with 90210. Then they had a couple of people from the original, and then by season three, you don't see any of them anymore.
But at least, it's something as opposed to just saying that they didn't exist or restarting it and
rebooting.
Yes. And like, let's say Larry Hagman would be a nice guy in the new one. Like, doesn't that. That's just, but if it's a good story.
They shoot him again. Who shot J.R. again?
Who shot him again?
Who shot him this time?
Who did it this time?
That was such a big deal. I remember when
again?
I was a kid. Yeah, I remember
again?
When I was a kid. People had T-shirts. I know who shot J.R.
Nobody knew.
And nobody had a clue who it was. I still don't know who it was. I don't remember because I never paid attention. But
I think it was Sue Ellen.
All right. Fair enough.
How about... How about, let's talk about...
I know Bobby came back to life.
Yeah.
Well, that was a dream.
Bad continuity. That's what that's called.
That's called terrible. That's called, oh my God, you're swallowing this continuity?
I've mentioned
it only lasted one more season after that, I think.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
I think
that was like the death knell. Jumping the shark. Yeah, whatever it was, that was the start.
That was Dallas's Jumping the Shark.
I've mentioned this before, but their sister show, Knots Landing, written by the same people, set in the same universe, they didn't know that it was a dream, so their characters went to the funeral.
Right, exactly.
And then when they revealed it was, and because Knots Landing season premiere happened before the Dallas premiere, they didn't know what to do, and in the interview they said, well, we just kind of just slowly distanced ourselves from them and kept on going. So they never really said what exactly happened, but it just kept on going.
I didn't even know that they were related.
Well, yeah.
What about the show that they threw continuity out the window? They didn't even have the word in the whole production, and it never left the ground. Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman.
What about the suit? Nope. No, how about the suit? Nope. Okay, we're not making a show. And the show's over. She's got jeans on.
And was her name Diana Prince or?
I believe she kept her name, but it really wasn't much of anything else.
Yeah, that's it.
TV shows continuity is very important because it's week after week. You got to keep it together because that's the way you keep people coming back. They know what's going on because they saw the first three episodes, so they know what's going on in episode four. That's what keeps them around episode five, six, and seven.
Yeah.
So if you have one of those things where you just talk, like, what show did that? Andromeda, remember that?
They decided to make a left turn.
Yeah, they just threw all this stuff out. The first two seasons were really great. They were building up. They were foreshadowing all this great stuff to happen, and then there was a bunch of machinations. Yeah, they ran out of money. So and so wanted to take over. Blah blah blah. They ran out of stories. The guy who did the Bible for the entire series,
he
bailed on it because they were acting like
guys.
Knuckleheads, and all of a sudden, I remember tuning back in around season four or five, and I'm like, I don't even know what's going on, and it's terrible. And see, it's not even the show's not even good.
But that's the question. So if the show was good, would you be more forgiving?
But what makes it good? That's the thing. I mean, okay, the special effects were always questionable because it was, you know, it was in that stage where the CG was just coming to television, and whatever. But so the special effects are not good, the writing isn't good, and now there's no continuity. You got in trouble. You have to at least have the continuity.
One of them?
Yeah, you got
something.
You got to do something about it. And if you keep the writing and you throw out the continuity, what's to keep everybody who were invested in the show coming back just because the writing's still good?
Well, it goes
blah, blah.
That goes along with comics. You know, you read one comic and then, 30 or 40 issues later, the guy's not doing what he was doing originally, but it's still a good read. And a lot of comic book writers has always said that it doesn't matter if it's all in continuity.
Comic books is different.
It's all, as long as it's a good story.
You're reading a comic book, you're already in a different class of entertainment seeker because you're willing to take a slow, sensory journey into whatever. You're looking at static images. That kind of correlate with each other, but don't. And following this, following a track of sequential images, and then reading these little balloons. I don't disparage comic books whatsoever, but I'm saying anybody who's still into that is still part of the old guard, where they're willing to digest their entertainment, a moment at a time. They don't need to be. They don't need to have their eyes filled with constant blaring stimuli at all times. So that's a very different engagement.
All right.
When you're watching a TV show, I mean, there's so many. The competition is so fierce with these TV shows. TVs are just like movies. If they don't make the, if you have a 1.5 million people watching your pilot, and then by episode three it's dropped down to 100,000 people, they're gonna ace you no matter how good your rating, no matter how good your writing is.
Right.
So
yeah.
you really have to wow them that whole first season, and then wow them the first half of the second season, and right around time you dip into your third season, maybe you could start throwing some meaningful dialogue in there. But look what happened to Heroes.
Yeah.
Although I thought that show was terrible from the start, but it really captured everybody's imagination, and they jumped the shark a couple of times in season two, and they never were able to pick it back up.
Well, that's like, from what I've seen so far of the few shows of Alphas.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even...
It's so far it's good, but I got a feeling they're going to jump the shark.
Now.
That shark is coming.
Some exec's going to come along and go, this is really working, but we got to make everybody young.
Yeah.
And we got to
make some changes.
Yeah, we got to make a few changes, and this show will be on top.
And then Warehouse 13, which is...
I never even watched that.
Yeah,
it's like Friday the 13th, right?
It's like a revamp of Friday the 13th, only in a mega,
giant
warehouse.
At the vault.
And a lot more people involved, and Lindsay Wagner makes an appearance.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, so she's a doctor. That's one of my favorite shows so far.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Alpha, I watch, and I know that's going.
But I don't know. They have Eureka. They've got a couple of shows that are holding on.
It's still holding on.
I never even watched that. I've never watched any of the Haven, any of the new shows of Sci-Fi, because Sci-Fi Channel's becoming almost like HBO, where you really like it, and then the next year it'll be gone with no pomp or circumstance. It's just, when's when's Deadwood coming back?
Nope.
What?
That
was never on.
That was the old sci-fi.
Exactly. They canceled Farscape. They canceled a whole bunch of shows. I understand.
Like, Farscape was good.
Farscape was fantastic. Yeah. And they just kind of unceremoniously got rid of it.
Yeah.
But at least they gave him a movie to wrap everything up. I mean, they wrapped it up very well, which is rare.
I think the success of a show depends on after the series if you have a trivia game. For it. So, I mean, in the way of jumping the science fiction wagon, Friends, Steinfeld, Friends especially, the continuity in Friends was amazing because three shows down the line, they would go back to the early shows talking about something that happened there. And if you weren't a Friends fan, you wouldn't pick it up. You know, so, which is...
All my friends at the old job that I worked at loved Friends, except I was the only one who was like, this is not funny. But it was not funny because I came in like season 10.
Yeah.
So, I was completely uninvested. You know, like, I
did a catch up on that, which was, you know, even when you're looking at DVDs and let me do a catch up. And I just started in and I seen it taking shape, and and it's funny to me now because of that. But you have to be the fan thing, do the fan thing, you know.
Well, one thing I was thinking of, as fans, you used to go see the little serials, right, with Lone Ranger and Buck Rogers in the movies.
Snap, Crackle, Pop.
Not that old.
Not that old?
Not that old. But I saw them on TV. They were on TV.
And the one thing that used to get me so upset is that they always ended on a cliffhanger, and then when they showed the next part, they always showed the one scene that wasn't in the cliffhanger.
Oh, Buck Rogers. Not Buck Rogers. Flash Gordon. They used to do that all the time, which would actually literally tick me off.
They used to show the ship, and then the ship used to explode. What happens to Buck Rogers? Turn it next week. And then they show the exact same thing, but then you see him jumping out of the way in the last minute. Like, wasn't there before? That's,
yeah.
What is that? That's,
or even better than that, you see Buster Crab going like that, and then the ship, for you people on the, I put my hands in front of my face, and then it blows up, and then the next week, exactly like you said, he didn't even put his hands up in his face, he jumped out.
Like, wait a minute.
Yeah, they do that a lot. They do that with movies. They've done that with movies in recent years, where they have a trailer. And there are two or three scenes in the trailer that aren't even in the film. And sometimes you went to see the film just for those scenes. Like, oh, that looks... Did you see that scene where the dragon bites the guy's head off?
There was no dragon in this movie.
Yeah, exactly. You get there, it was like a dream sequence. And when you get the DVD after with the deleted scenes, it was so schlock, it was like a dream sequence in a minor character's, backstory that they decided to cut all the way out of the film. But the sequence was really nice, so they threw it back into the trailer.
Or they do their little intelligent things, like, I saw a movie, I can't remember what it was, but there was a fight going on, and there was a car hanging off a cliff, and the car fell, and one guy gets away, and you think the villain exploded, and then the guy is walking away, and then you see the villain coming like at him with an axe. But what they do is they go back to the car falling, showing you the villain jumping out of there. I'm like, oh, but no, but too much.
You can't just do
too
that.
Too much.
That's just how it is. So we got about a minute left, so we're going to do some final thoughts. Hassani, a final
Continuity matters.
Continuity matters. Charlie?
Without saying, continuity matters.
Yeah. And I hope these aren't our final thoughts.
Yes. Hassan right. made a very good point. I don't want it to be my final thought.
If it was, it'd be a very sucky final thought.
Yeah.
My final thought.
That's
it? That's it? Oh, all right.
Wow.
So my final thought would always want to be, wow, you're so beautiful. Boom.
So
fair enough.
That does it for this week on Came From the Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of the show, you can go online to www.akfunradio.com and listen to our archives, which should be up in a week or so. If you can't wait that long, you go to such places as Podcast Planet or iTunes, and you can hear us on there very quickly after we're off the air. As a matter of fact, all our news items are on a Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter, and we'll see you next week.
Take a good ease.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the host and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.